This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz on your radio 94.1, always on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube if you'd like to watch. Joining us now, Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, which you can check out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Baldy, thank you for joining us.
It's good to be with you guys.
Well, Baldy.
So, post-football season, we always know you're a traveler. Been anywhere good since football season ended? Any cool vacations or sights or sounds in Baldy's world?
Yeah, of course. I mean, been to Costa Rica and throughout the Caribbean and into the Bahamas, and you know, wherever the sun is shining and the water is warm, I've been there for the most part. I've been bouncing pretty good.
You live a good life, man. I love it.
Well, listen, I mean, look,
you deserve it.
Anybody can break down cover two, but you know, you can't do it all day long.
Absolutely.
You have to take a break from it. Yeah.
Yep. Well, it does take that balance. I've always been bad at that, and okay. I get burnt out. And like you go hard when you're going hard, and then you enjoy yourself when you're enjoying yourself.
I try to balance it up a little bit.
So before we get to the draft itself, Eagles offseason has been, I think we all expected some players to leave. I don't think we expected the number of players to leave that left, and then the sort of no immediate replacements. I was curious what your reaction to the offseason so far has been for the Eagles.
I mean, did they really lose great players? I mean, you could say Darius Slay is on the downside of his career, hasn't been signed. You know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson has been on a one-year contract for the last 5 years for four different teams. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, he gets bounced. I thought, you know, Josh Sweat was a good player, really good player. But honestly, when he got drafted, you probably remember this, Ike. Mm-hmm. When he was drafted out of Florida State, nobody thought he'd play 6 years.
Nope.
They thought that knee was so bad it was a ticking time bomb.
Yep.
And they had to manage him, but, you know, Josh was a great player. And he really gave it everything he's got. I don't know how much more his knee can hold up. You know, just based on, you know, the medicals when he came out. And Milton Williams came on, was a good player, but, you know, they've been stocking that position pretty good. You know, Mekhi Becton played way beyond anybody what he thought he could do. And I didn't think they would be able to keep him. So, you know, Tyler Steen and Kenyon Green, and, you know, they've got bodies there. They might try to upgrade it here in the draft, but I don't think it was a horrible offseason of losing that many guys, to be honest with you. Two starting defensive linemen, but guys waiting in the wings to kind of take their place and develop.
I guess when we look at it, Baldy, and I guess when it was about five players they lost on the defense, you feel like there's enough still there in the cupboard, along with draft picks, obviously, whoever they take in the draft. And I think it'll be on that side of the football. You feel confident in what's left in the cupboard, but probably more so, who's calling the plays, the architect of the defense, and Vic Fangio?
That's a big part. It's a big part of it, Ike. But, you know, they're going to get N'Kobe Dean back. I mean, Zach Bond could have easily been the defensive player of the year.
Yep.
All of his stats say that he should have been the defensive player of the year. And then what he did in the postseason. I mean, the guy was – and then, you know, they did something that they have not done since maybe Trott was there. And they went out and extended him and gave him a contract and – you know, he's going to be an Eagle for quite a while now, and they gave him big money, and rightfully so. So, I mean, I think that's still a position of need. I don't think there's a lot of depth there. Mm-hmm. I think safety is still a position of need. I don't think there's a lot of depth there. So, you know, and I think this is the best draft I can remember the last 15 years for defensive linemen. So I mean, you're going to get a chance. If you don't do anything, just stay at 32 and take a defensive lineman, you're going to get a good player.
So, Baldy, speaking of the draft, you know, when you're thinking about a player and a team, who they're going to decide to select, how much of that is the tape? How much of that is the combine? How much of that is the other stuff, the interviews, the personal stuff? How do you weigh it?
Well, you have to weigh all of it. Now, I'll give you a quick story. I talked to a guy that played with the Eagles. It's not necessary to say his name, but he interviewed a lot of players at the combine at a particular position. And he was dumbfounded at how little some of the players knew about even drawing up a play or what their assignments were. And so you get some of these guys that just aren't that smart, can't think on their feet. Like, they don't sound like Philadelphia Eagles to me. Like, you know, I mean, but they might test really well. They might have played really well at the Senior Bowl. Just being at the Senior Bowl this year, I hadn't been there in a while, but just being down there in the pits and watching these drills, I mean, there are so many NFL-ready, NFL bodies. They just look like NFL players, and they're 20 or 21 years old. I can't, you know, you got to, they've been developing players now. I mean, Nolan Smith really developed from a guy, people said he was undersized, he ran a fast 40 time, but he really developed. And so I think, you know, the coaching has been really good, and young players have come on. So I think you got to factor in, are they coachable? Are they smart? What's their talent level? How do they test? I think it's a little bit of all that stuff.
Yeah, I think coming out of here, Baldy, they got to feel good about their formula for selecting players, right? We were talking to Mike Mayock last week, and we were just talking about the process of putting together your draft board and the criteria you may use and what's important to you from a prioritizing sort of stand. And the Eagles seemingly have figured out the formula they feel comfortable with. In these last few drafts, I just go with the since 21. When they selected Devontae in the first round, and I think they got Landon Dickerson in the second round. They really have been on a nice little streak with their first few rounds in the draft. What do you think that says about Howie and his staff and where they sort of develop from an evaluation standpoint?
Well, I think it's more than Howie. I think, Nick, I think there's just good stability within the organization.
Okay.
I don't think anybody feels really threatened, although I think, you know, they're very, very hungry to maintain their posture as a top elite team in this league. And they know that drafting well is probably the biggest part of that. Drafting and developing, they changed a lot of coaches last year, a lot of position coaches that made a difference. So I think, you know, they didn't get it right the year before. And they made some mistakes when Doug was here. So, you know, I feel like they have kept they keep working at it and striving to be better. The one thing, I mean, just knowing guys that have worked for Howie and have gone on to other places now, I mean, Howie wears these guys out. I'm going to be here now. I mean, it's not fun over there. But to Howie's credit, like, some of that stuff really pays off. Some of those, well, what if this happens in this scenario? And what if this trade, you know, takes place? And what if this guy is available when we're at 32 and he's there at 27? Do we trade? Like, all of the different draft scenarios that Howie goes through with the guys, like, it does wear him out, but it does pay off.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you can't outwork that guy right now, and that's a credit to him.
Yeah.
Baldy, looking at this draft, is there a position or two you think it's particularly deep in?
Yeah. I think it's deep at tight end. I think it's really deep at defensive line. I don't care if it's, you know, defensive tackle or defensive ends or edge rushers. I think it's really good. And then it's a really deep draft at running back. So I think those three positions really stand out to me.
If you're the Eagles, you know, you're sitting there at 32. How do you balance best player on the board versus what you need for your team this year?
You can't really go wrong. I mean, if you just go with the best player, like, they've got all the positions filled right now, Spike. Like, they don't have a glaring need. So, I mean, some teams clearly do.
Yeah.
If you're the New England Patriots, you've got glaring needs. If you're Carolina, you've got glaring needs. I don't think the Eagles have a glaring need. They have made that mistake before and tried to do that, and there's no point to go and revisiting it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you stay there and you take the best player available, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of trades in this draft. There's just not enough star power quarterbacks in this draft. There's not enough star power in this draft, but it's a deep draft. And so, I mean, there's probably going to be 8 to 10 defensive linemen taken in the first round. Now, if somebody drops, because who knows, character issues or off-the-field stuff or attitude, whatever it might be, but the talent is there. I mean, that's kind of like that's kind of like what happened to Jalen, you know? And so,
yeah.
Like a Carter.
Right here.
So, yep. I mean, yep. There's a couple guys in this draft that people are a little bit queasy about, let's say. And so, you know, I don't think they have a lot of fear with Lane, you know, with when you have Lane and you have Jalen and you have some of the Zach Bond, you have some of the leaders in that locker room. I don't think there's a lot of fear about bringing a guy in that might have had some issues before about how to conduct yourself.
Well, and any gut tell you, I mean, 32 is weird because you don't know who's going to be there, but is there a player or two you think could be sitting there that you think the Eagles would be interested in?
Yeah, I mean, like if Mike Green was somehow available from Marshall, anywhere, like say after 26, because I think the Eagles would go up and get an elite player like that, an elite talent. It's a position of need. They have been weakened, especially with Bryce Huff's like inability to really play within the scheme. So they've got some young guys there, Jalen Hunt and Nolan, but, you know, position of an edge rusher like him or, you know, a local kid, you know, from Boston College, Ezeraki, like Ezeraku, I think he could be, you know, a guy that they would be very, very interested in. You know, James Pierce from Tennessee, who people have some real question marks about with some issues, but the talent at 4'4", 7", and 6'5", 250 pounds, and some good production at Tennessee, like, he was hanging around there. Like, I don't think they'd wait very long to bring his name up there.
All right, Baldy, we appreciate it. Should be mm-hmm. It's an interesting draft lead up for the Eagles after winning the Super Bowl. Like normally, when we don't, we all focus in on one or two guys and we make ourselves crazy thinking about whether they're going to get them. And the Eagles this year sitting where they sit with a lot of quantity for picks, but nothing real high. And as you mentioned, not a pick where you think you're going to address one specific need. It's interesting for them. We appreciate your time, man.
Yep, my pleasure, guys. You bet. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Baldy.
Yep.
All right,
there he is, Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast, where you can get in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. A point for Elliott in Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings today, as he reports first, I believe, that the Eagles brought in Malachi Starks as one of their 30 interviews. He was at the NovaCare facility for them to talk to.
Big scoop.
That's a real scoop.
That's a real scoop. I'm not giving him the guy that got Stoutland's coffee.
Are you enough with that guy? Give that guy a break. He's got a real job. What if somebody referred to you as the guy that gets Ike Reese's coffee?
Well, they probably do. But yeah, we hired Justin to get my coffee. So that's basically what
the coffee totem pole.
Stoned.
Wow, the coffee totem pole.
Yep.
Don't stand for that, Justin.
No, well, he can't stand that tall anyway.
Wow.
Roast him again. No one knows who he is, but we keep roasting him.
So we're doing
inside
jokes
only.
We're doing top 30 visits as inside information.
That's a big scoop.
It's a scoop. He's a guy we've talked about a lot.
It's a scoop. It's not a big scoop.
It's a scoop.
They're bringing in 30 guys.
Yes, and he had it first. You got to give him credit.
No, what I'm saying, I don't mind giving him credit. I'm just saying. They're bringing in 30 guys. I could name you the 30 guys I would imagine they're probably bringing in. Let me see. All Georgia guys, right? So if I just name the guys right now that are probably going to come in for a 30 visit, right? Should I get inside Eagles Insider?
Well,
I get a point for that, right?
If you report one of them is here, yeah.
Check their Instagram feed.
Yeah.
No, but like, listen, for little Elliot. This is a big.
Wow.
This is a big step. He's starting to get real.
He's starting to be a real grown up reporter. 215-592-9494. Aaron in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Aaron?
Oh, what's up, fellas?
What's up, babe? What is going on with the phone today?
Yeah, you hear me?
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Are you doing a bit, or can you just do the show?
No. No, you got
Hey, because I can hear y'all. How can y'all hear me?
All right. We do hear you.
He hung up and called back, and now he's not doing a bit, which I thought he was doing a bit.
I'm putting him on hold. If he can't hear us, how does he know that we're saying we can hear him?
That's what I keep saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I'm out.
He knows too much.
Maybe the phone will work better tomorrow.
All right. 215-592-9494. Dominic in Westchester. You're on WIP.
Hey,
can
guys,
you hear
how
us?
How you doing?
What's up,
yeah,
Dominic?
Yeah, I could hear you guys.
All right. All right,
good
thanks.
To hear from you guys. Sorry, long time no talk. I'm busy at the job.
Oh, it's all
right. But real quick, first thing, I was watching the Masters yesterday at like the Westgate Pub, and I always found it like a little interesting when people were like rooting for the guys, like when they were like watching NASCAR or whatever, and they're like really rooting for the guy. It seemed like it just went a little bit further than monetary value, but anyways, I have a big, quick Phillies point.
Well,
here today.
I think with my perspective, I agree with you, Dominic. I don't care about any of these golfers, but I think the story with Rory McIlroy,
yes,
in that he this is like the mountain that he hasn't been able to climb, and
he's
failed
a
bunch
favorite
of times,
yeah,
and then with him basically trying to choke it away and then winning at the end. I think the story of all of it, the narrative of it, was interesting to
the
people.
The narrative.
Yeah, well, the shot on the 16th hole was amazing around the tree.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
But anyways, around back to my Phillies point, they are still very infuriating. If you remember last year, I declared them dead, and it is April 14th, and I am declaring the Phillies dead.
Oh, come on.
If they keep putting out – no, listen. If they keep putting out this platoon with Brandon Marsh and Johan Rojas, I see these same guys coming up. There was nothing more infuriating with guys on second and third in the fifth inning. Marsh strikes out, and then they have to bunt. That's how we're going to get a runner in, is their best option is to bunt. But don't worry. Don't worry. Weston Wilson is taking some bats down in Clearwater or whatever.
Oh.
So we'll be good. We have him coming up.
You know what? I can't take – Bryce is out there hitting 250. Trey's hitting 240. And we're worried about Brandon Marsh, the eighth hitter, and Johan Rojas, the ninth hitter. Like, if you want to be critical
and
of
Alec Bohm, the seventh hitter.
Well, should be the third hitter. If we're going to – I just can't. I understand the frustration with those guys, and we've wanted Johan Rojas can't hit. Whatever.
Well, yeah, we know.
And Brandon Marsh at this point, we should have them talking about him being an everyday player before this year. That is, what's the word? Bewildering, I think. Mm-hmm. But the real issue over the last few games is not those guys. It's the big guys, and that's why I don't think you can declare them dead, because I guess I just don't have any doubt that Bryce is going to hit. I don't have any doubt that Trey's going to hit. I don't have any doubt that Zach Wheeler is not going to go in there and allow four runs or five runs in six innings. I just think those things are going to normalize. And then all of a sudden, the fact that Brandon Marsh can't hit or Johan Rojas can't hit is going to be a lot less of an issue, you know?
Yeah, so then my question for you right now is, is this their window to win, or is it in the future?
I think it's both.
Okay, well, here's my theory.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of these players that we have in the system, I would say, if we had to put a number on it, Jackie Baseball, 85% of them just become guys, right? They're not, very
yes.
rarely do you get
special players,
Parker,
yeah.
All that stuff, yeah. So is it that crazy to get rid of Painter and bring in someone that's going to help you get over the hump this year? Because realistically, if Painter comes in July, right? I know he's better than... We're projected to be better than all these people in the lineup, right? I know he's better than Taiwan and Ranger or whatever. But if you can get a nice bat, I mean, Max Kepler was your biggest addition this season, and he's not doing jack squat. They're not moving Harper back to the outfield anytime soon. So if you can get rid of him, and 85% of the time they just become a regular guy, why would you not take the risk to go get a big bat?
I don't think you can look at Painter and say he's just going to be a guy. I mean, like, even when you look around baseball, they look at that guy as a future number one starter.
I got to see him just be a guy.
Yeah.
And not on somebody else's team.
When you look at Wheeler's 34, Nola's 32, Ranger's not going to be on the team. Like, if you have a number one starter.
Him and Sanchez are going to be your two best pitchers in 3 years here.
If you're going to trade him for a big bat, that's got to be a big bat that's 25 years old, that is under, team control for the next 4 years. I would listen to it. Now, I don't think Jack and Ike would want to – I would listen, but I'm not doing it for a one-year rental for a guy that helps them win this year and this year only.
I just get worried that you see pitchers like DeGrom and other pitchers that have Tommy John surgery. It usually happens again. So So it's like, are you kind of going down the same path with him? And he's only, what, 21, 22?
Yeah, but so many pitchers have had Tommy John. It's not just some pitchers are having Tommy John.
It's almost a normal surgery now.
They do it almost preemptively because they know they're going to need it at some point. And I think they can even come back stronger. So Tommy John is not the death sentence. DeGrom is an example of a guy who is consistently injured. But there's plenty of guys who have had Tommy John and then had pretty successful careers afterwards.
I guess my point is that it's just like everyone saying we're running back the same team. I would like to see some sort of shakeup.
The other problem is I don't know what bat's even really available to trade for.
You guys and you got a was it what we doing there?
Chick flick.
You got chick flick for Dominic.
It's crazy stupid love.
A crazy stupid love. I love.
I don't like it that much.
That's one Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Ryan Gosling in Crazy Stupid Love.
A lot of hype. Didn't live up to the hype.
I thought that movie was funny.
And I'll throw this out there before we get sidetracked on that. Seriously.
Yeah.
Abort mission.
There it is.
Stop it with the. Stop it with the looking at pitches. There's no way you can tell me. And I understand we all thought this would be a great idea. They don't look like the same baseball team that we've watched the last 3 years. All I know is they scored runs. They hit home runs. They're not doing any of that now.
Dude, they went through plenty of droughts last year.
I'm just saying this idea that this somehow is going to lead to more runs. Better hitters. I think it's all in their head. And who knows how long it's going to take for them to climb out of this. We've asked these players, and God bless them. They tried. Jack was tracking it in spring training. He said the chase rate was down there. They were seeing more pitches. Forgot the numbers we put out there earlier last week when they were the number one team in baseball with all this stuff. But I'm asking you, I understand the results. Forget about the results from a win-loss standard. I'm asking you about watching them play. They don't seem to hit the ball hard an awful lot. They damn sure not hitting a bunch of home runs. They got 14 total home runs already. 14!
I'm letting them figure this part out.
14! I don't want to watch a baseball team that hits the ball around the ballpark. And we've been watching this baseball team for the last 20 years have guys that slug. That's what they do. Right?
What? Some guys.
Here's what I'll tell you. Since I've been here at WIP, the whole small ball talk has been here since I've been here. They clearly haven't been a small ball hitting club.
I just don't think they have. If they're going to be a home run hitting club, they don't have enough home run hitters to be a home run hitting club.
I think
Trey Turner is going to be a better hitter for this. I think Nick Castellanos is going to be a better hitter for this.
How many home runs do you want Trey Turner to hit?
20, 18, something like that.
He's going to hit 18. Bohm's going to hit 10. Well, Harper's going to hit 25.
Right, so I don't
know. Cassie's going to hit. So what do we think? What do we think? We think we're going to bat and average our way all the way to the World Series?
No, I think.
Is that what we're going to do? We're all going to bat close to 300 this year?
I think this is going to give them a better shot in the playoffs when they're not as hot as they think they were, understanding that they can do this.
What about if they don't get in the
playoffs?
They'll
get in the playoffs. Yeah, I can't believe you're aborting after 15 games, 9 of which they won.
How good they look in those 9 wins?
Pretty good in some of them.
About 3 of them.
No, I think you're being crazy. I think, I
3?
I can't believe you're aborting mission now. Man, this is the craziest thing I think I've ever heard you say.
This approach at the plate, get them back to doing what they've been doing. Here's what I'm saying. You know why I'm also saying this?
Because you don't want to watch them this way.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
I knew it.
This ain't the baseball team I want to watch play.
I knew that's what it was
about. That's exactly it. And I can't wait till it comes out of the clubhouse. Sooner or later, the players are going to feel that way too.
I don't think that's impossible.
Sooner or later, they're going to be saying the same thing. Like, this ain't working.
215-592-9494.
Abort mission.
Do not. 15 games.
Abort the mission.
The
Topper.
High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is next. Oh, my God. Speaking of performance. Hitting home runs.
We're not going anywhere.
Is Blue Chew, is that for home run hitters?
About that.
Yeah.
That's a home run hitter.
Home run hitters?
Yeah. I mean, listen, you can't, never mind.
What?
Well, I'm saying, like, in order to hit home runs, in the bedroom, you got to make sure it's all working down there.
Yeah, you got to make sure you don't have a floppy bat.
Yeah. Wow.
Soft bat?
Yeah.
Little singles?
Let me get in here somewhere.
Well, I didn't know. Yeah.
I can't even. I'm trying to see where I can fit in.
How's your bat?
You can see, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
What I was going to bring up was that nobody wants to be a singles hitter.
Correct. Well, not in the bedroom.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Blue Chew. Go to bluechew.com. Use code 94. Thanks to the WIP Afternoon Show, your first month is free. We're paying for it. Use code 94 at checkout. You're not going to be a singles hitter. Nah. You're going to chew up one of those Blue Chews. Mm-hmm. You're going to be a home run hitter.
Yep.
And we know chicks dig the long ball.
That's right.
Absolutely. And you don't have to go to the doctor. I mean, this is, of course, it is a pharmaceutical, so it has the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, and Staxin, but they're going to get you out of that trip to the doctors by just meeting with one of their medical providers online. Mm-hmm. So no trip to the doctor's office, no wait to the trip to the doctor's office, no standing in line at the pharmacy. No.
No embarrassment.
And it's all made here in the USA, so it's cheaper.
Yes.
Delivered immediately to your mailbox in a
discreet
hard
package. BlueChew.com, use code 94. You get the first month free. You just pay for the shipping. Use code, 94. And then you can
chew it and do it.